Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Peter Hertzler. And I'm trying my best to get that right. He is the founder and managing partner of Ocean Independent. I have to say, in doing the research for you, your biography is absolutely astounding. You were a merchant deck officer. Then you took your Dutch Master Mariner certificate in 1985. You were the creator of one of the first owner-operated luxury cruise charter companies, which I think went on to become Ocean Cruise. You were also captain of the first vessel of the fleet. You also served as 3 terms past president of MIBA. And now you are the owner of the world's largest central agency listing of crewed luxury super yachts and more. Tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you from and where did your journey start?
Well, good afternoon, everybody, first, and happy to be here. And thank you, Rhea, for your introduction. As you would expect from the media nowadays, there was a little bit of exaggeration here and there, of course, but I like the enthusiasm. And yeah, just happy to be here. And yeah, when I listen to what you said, and I realize how old I am, but I also realize how many, many good years I did have and how much I enjoyed to be in yachting since my late 20s, actually, when we did indeed start what used to be called Colombio, the Colombio sail cruises, three motor sailors that were, yes, that's true, the first commercial yachts on the water. And we talk about, early 90s, late 80s. So, yeah, long way since then. But very enjoyable, great industry, lots of friends in the industry, and of course, fantastic clients.
And you are Swiss?
I'm very Swiss, yes, indeed, whatever that means. I'm very lucky as well because I'm married to a Dutch girl, a Dutch woman, who I met when we did build the first of the Colombios in the, as I said, mid-80s. We have a great life together. I think the mix of a Swiss man and the Dutch woman must be one of the best, at least, that's how I feel about it. I'm a very, very happy and lucky man.
What brought you to become a merchant deck officer? What was sort of your pull, firstly, of course, to being a mariner, but to the choice of being a merchant deck officer?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say that was sort of like the last plan I ever had when I was going to school in Switzerland. It was actually the case that my brother, who always wanted to become a captain on seagoing ships, and I always wanted to become a lawyer. The result was that he's now a lawyer, and I have been, for a short period, a captain on seagoing ships. I was really drifting towards that. I was studying law in Zurich. I did then go to South Africa. I went to the army in Switzerland. Didn't like to go back to studying at university, and somehow, long story, but somehow ended up on a Dutch cargo vessel as an apprentice deck officer, and never looked back, and just went on to the master license, and then have been sailing with the family for quite some time in Scandinavia on a small sailing boat, and knew the pleasures of yachting, the fantastic experiences that you can have when you are in a small port, in a small bay at anchor. And so my brother and I, with some friends at some stage, decided that we wanted to do that as a business. Combined the professionalism of what I'd learned on the cargo ships with the joys of being on a private yacht and doing things in a small environment. And so we came up with these first motor sailors, 120 feet. At that time in the late 80s, really big yachts, super yachts. Nowadays, wouldn't make it very, very high up on any list. But at that time, those were big yachts. And it was a big adventure, and that's how we got started.
Wow. So that is sort of a love of the sea as well, with your family.
Very much so. Yes. I mean, we always, a vacation without some water nearby somehow is difficult even now. Winter vacation is on snow, so that's frozen water, so that's fine. But other than that, you always need to be somewhere near the water. A river will do occasionally, but usually it should be the ocean.
I'm always really interested to know what the philosophy is of a business owner when they start off small, how they push themselves forward.
Not all of this is a plan, but this develops over time. You start small, that's, I believe, quite normal. And I have also to say that, we did put these boats on the water, but in commercial terms, they were actually really a failure. We were too early. The commercial yachts were not requested and required at that time. We went a little bit too far in fulfilling rules and regulations that did exist in the commercial world, but did not happen and did not exist in the yachting world. So there were quite a few things that didn't go quite the way that you would have hoped for from an entrepreneurial aspect. And after about, close to 10 years of that, which were fine and we are actually the backbone of my network in yachting today, I really did then turn from an owner operator to a consultant. So the actual beginning of what today, let's say, would be Ocean Independence was somewhere in 93, 94. When my focus started to be advising clients on yacht ownership, on chartering, on building a yacht and things like that, based, of course, on the experience that we had been collecting, being an owner, operator, and a builder of these Column Bio motor sailors. And after that, I mean, it was a few years, just two of us with an assistant. And then it was obvious that the market started to change, that you needed to be either very small, very boutique, which always is interesting and nice, or that you would need to get to grow to a certain size in order to become an important player in the market. And after having been just with an assistant for 5-6 years, I thought that being bigger and being a bit more important in the market, having a bit more to say, being part of the definition of how the market would develop to some extent as well, that looked interesting to me and attractive. And so I started to look into expanding the business. That was sort of like late, that was 1999, 2000, something like that.
What did you see as a company as a result of the pandemic and coming out of it and then straight into this Russian-Ukraine conflict? How has that affected business?
Well, it has affected business, of course, in many ways. But let's not forget that if you run a yachting business, then actually the last 10, 15 years have not been without crisis one way or another, whether it's financial crisis or oil crisis or Iraq wars or whatever. I mean, there's always something happening. And if it isn't happening, it's threatening to happen, or there's plenty of people telling you that it is about to happen. So you're basically always somewhere. You're always in a crisis mode. And it also means you're always looking for survival solutions. And actually, that is something that the company benefits a lot from, because it keeps you on your toes. You try to innovate, you try to move forward, you try to be efficient. And so in that sense, today or the last couple of years have not really been that dramatic. What was different in the pandemic is, of course, the full stop on the charter side in the first half year of the pandemic going around the world, and of course the working from home situation. So the fact that people were locked up in their homes, locked out of the offices, that did change a lot in the social interaction between people. That changed a lot in how we at Ocean Independence started to look at our staff, at our team, how we started to look at how to take care of each other, how to still be in touch with each other, because being at home, of course, is sometimes very nice and is a nice concept. But then having to be at home is a totally different thing. Not seeing your friends, not seeing your colleagues. For some, it's perfect. For some, it's terrible. And as a company, we started to really think much more about that. And so it has changed, in other words, maybe to say it has changed communication a lot in Ocean Independence, within Ocean Independence, but also with our clients. And some of it is going to stay.
Have you noticed an increase in charter after the pandemic?
For certain. I think the whole industry has seen a dramatic increase in demand. Last year was a boom year for the industry, no doubt about it, for the shipyards, for the brokers, whether it was charter brokers or sales. We've been having a great year as an industry, and obviously also a great year as Ocean Independence. And the experience to be on a yacht and driven in a way, or highlighted in a way, indeed by the pandemic, but the pluses of being able to be on a yacht and experience with your family, with your friends, you know, just to be a group that knows each other, likes each other, being together, being mobile, not being restricted to a local regulation, maybe, and then be able to move somewhere else. All these things, of course, are strong sides of yachting. And the pandemic, yes, indeed, did sort of put them into the limelight even more.
Has the charter guest changed in the past, say, 5 years? Do you see a difference in the type of guests that you're getting on board?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer, because our clients in general cannot easily be put into drawers. You know, the variation of clients is enormous. We are a global company, meaning we are dealing with clients from really, truly all over the world. So we see all cultural expectations and behavior, and really there are no two alike, or hardly two alike. Has it changed a lot? I would say not dramatically. There are always years where this or that is a bit more demanded. But in overall, I would say the change is the requirements have not changed a lot, because what people really want to have is a good time. People want to have a good time on board. Now, I'm not talking about having a huge party. That can be a good time for a few, but a good time usually means being together, having fun with each other, water sports, go to nice places, eat nice, they be treated well, be pampered according to what you pay, of course. So feel good, and that hasn't changed. That's always been what you're looking for on a charter. Now, how in detail you want then the charter to be, that's a different question, because you have a group of young people, and yes, they do want to party, yes, they want to go to the Grand Prix, or they want to go to the beaches, and they want to go to the places in the evening, or you have a family with young children, and they want to go to the quiet bays and do a bit of swimming and take it very sort of easy in that sense. The goal is always the same: have fun, be safe, be in a great environment. The overriding general consensus is that you would like to eat well when you're on a charter, that everybody wants to do that.
With the next generation coming up, do you think that we're going to see a different generation that aren't necessarily going to be into ownership, but that they're going to want to charter?
At Ocean Independence, we have a certain, we do expect that to a certain extent. Whether it is going to be a bit more sharing, so shared ownership a bit more than today, it does exist, but it's not yet extremely popular and widespread. Whether it is more chartering as well, that could well be. And of course, I said before, we are always living a little bit in a crisis mode. And you did speak rightly about how how yards are sold out. It's all of that. Of course, you can imagine for companies selling boats, that's a problem, because we actually are looking at the lack of supply at the moment. So even though things have been very good last year, this year we were sort of a bit concerned, as an industry now, not specifically Ocean Independence, that our supply chain actually is relatively thin, because the yachts have been sold and the shipyards cannot just keep taking orders, because they need to build those boats at some stage. So that is one thing. And in similar, so let's for the moment assume that there will be a huge shift from owning to chartering. That would be a great challenge, because what do you charter then? I mean, at the moment, we are living in an industry where private owners do make their yachts available for private people to charter yachts. And if you take away the ownership side, then actually there is no more market for chartering yachts. So, of course, somebody, or more than somebody, but there will be concepts how to make up for that. So I think it will be interesting to see what the changes are going to bring in the next 5 to 10 years. But I would agree with you that there's going to be a bit of a change in maybe the percentages of ownership and chartering, and maybe also shared ownerships in the future.
You know, the world over, especially the coming generations, are very, very concerned about the environment. Do you see that being something that people really and truly consider more so in the future than they do now or have in the past 5 years?
I think by default, this will be the case. It has to be the case. And I think it's a good thing that it is the case. And as we have seen in the car, in the automotive industry, of course, it takes an offer in order for people to start thinking whether they would consider it or not. And as long as you don't have an electric car, you cannot buy an electric car, and then you don't want an electric car because it doesn't exist. And in yachting, we're still at the very beginning of that, but it will come, and we see it, of course. We see it at various levels, whether in the drivetrain arrangements or whether in whole yachts, and we will see more and more and more of that. The solutions, the final solutions are not known yet. At the moment, we are in a phase where shipyards, engineering companies, everybody, owners, some very high profile owners have shown great interest in being part of finding solutions for greener yachts. But we are at the beginning of the development, and in combination with being sort of forced to do a bit more, I think we are going to see great progress in that area in the next 5 to 10 years, for certain. I'm very convinced, and I'm very happy about that, because it must be part of how we look at life and how we look at the world and the oceans that we are cruising on, that we like so much. So we need to make sure that we preserve that for generations to come.
In regards to yacht sales and new build, it's interesting to follow the industry when it comes to new sales, because for the longest time it was who could get the biggest yacht. Then all of a sudden we saw the advent of excursion yachts and expedition yachts. And then it seems to be now going back to bigger yachts, not expedition yachts. It seems to have sort of crossed that bridge, and now we're heading back to even mega yachts as we see some of the new builds that are coming out now.
It is what you're looking at. You know, I mean, we at Ocean Independence, we have a slightly different, how shall I say, view on that, in the sense that, that yes, you know, we talk a lot about the bigger yachts and the biggest yachts and everything. But if you see, you know, what people want, and I'm not talking about the ones who only want 100 meter plus or 80 meter plus yachts, but if you look at what sort of the sweet spot of the market is, then it is much, much, you know, in a much different area. It is somewhere between 35 and 55 meters. And personally, I think it's fantastic that it's there, because that's where you can enjoy your boat most. I mean, that's where your yacht can still go where you would like to be. And of course, there are good reasons to have a huge yacht if you're the kind of person that needs a big yacht. But for most people, for most of our clients, that is not what they are interested in. They are fascinated by it, of course. It's like people are fascinated by very fast cars, but there is very, very few people who actually need a fast car, or even if they have it, who drive fast in a fast car. And the yachting experience, where, in my opinion, it really peaks, is somewhere between 35, 55 meters, somewhere there. That's where you can have the greatest experience with your family, with your friends, and go to the places that you want to see. The very big yachts are fascinating. They are great pieces of art and technology, and then they pull the industry in a way, because everybody is fascinated by them, and we read about it with pleasure, including myself. But it's not what it's not where we are as a company, and where we can serve our clients best, because our clients are not up there.
sailing was a big thing, and proper sailing boats. And it started to drop off. And everybody that I have spoken to, you know, sailing enthusiasts, have said that there was a huge dip in the industry as far as sailing boats. People just weren't as interested in sailing as they were in motor yachts. I've noticed that from the monohull sailboat to the catamaran, it seems like that has started to increase people's interest in sailing again, because the catamarans, you can sail them, and they're also bringing in the electric, the solar panels, et cetera. Do you think that's going to be a change in the future with more of those types of boats being sold?
I would expect that, yes. I think I think that is going to happen for exactly the reasons that you mentioned. A, you can sail with the catamaran without having some of the disadvantages that some people would see in sailing. Personally, I really think sailing is the way to go on a monohull. But I mean, our clients, 85% of our clients, 90% of our clients think differently. And so that one has to take that very seriously. But the catamaran does allow to sail a bit without being discomfortable. And of course, as you also pointed out, it does allow, with regard to technology, to put more solar panels, bigger surfaces, and therefore to be a bit greener in the combination of things. So yes, I expect more of that. Now, whether that is really going to be a big percentage or just a slightly less small percentage than it is now, will really very much depend, I believe, on what other technologies, green technologies, are going to come into play. And then, of course, there is also the certain likelihood that there might be green catamarans and not necessarily sailing catamarans. Because sailing, really, truly, if one is honest about it, is for the sailing enthusiast. And not for anybody else. Anybody who does not really like sailing should, in my opinion, not have a sailing yacht, because the cost is proportionally higher. You need sometimes extra crew. You need to know more. You need to maintain more. Sailing is the most fantastic way to be on the water, in my opinion. But if you do not feel like that, there's really no good reason to have a mast and a boom and sails and rigging and all of that.
Well, Peter, it has been an absolutely fascinating conversation, as per usual, and I really do appreciate you taking your time to talk with us.
It's been a pleasure. No, it's my business. It's my passion. You know, being on the water and finding solutions for people who join me in that love. Let's say that is a great thing. And again, going back to the beginning, I'm a very lucky person to do exactly that with a team of great people.
Where do you see ocean independence next?
Well, I hope that we can be part, as we have been in the very early days, you know, that we can be part of shaping the future of yachting, and that we can be part of bringing nice solutions to the market, to our clients, that we can be part of this drive for sustainability. And I think part of it has to be growth, whether it is growth in quality, quantity, profitability, and sometimes a dirty word, but also very important in business in order to survive. Growth maybe also in our global reach further. So growth probably is part of that, but I see growth in quality for everybody, whether it's clients and also team members of Ocean Independence, as one of the main goals that I would have for the next years of Ocean Independence.
Thank you again. Thank you, everybody. If you are interested in finding out more about Ocean Independence, and of course, Peter, who is the founder and managing partner, we will provide his LinkedIn information, but as well, all the social media links for Ocean Independence will be below this interview when it airs. Thank you ever so much for tuning in. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.